that's going on down here?
Yeah, is it this? I think I got a, someone gave me a card about
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's it.
Yes, exactly.
Can
I interview you guys about it, too?
Yes, you could.
I run a media website called The Media Collective.
All right.
We're trying to focus on local kind of deals. Those are free media sites on the back to check out. But, so what do you got?
The best guy to talk to? I'm my friend's roommate over here, and this guy here knows all about it. And he's like one of the main guys in the, you know, trying to get it started and get it going. But I decided to come down here and help out just to pick up these surveys and stuff, you know, kind of get an idea of what the local community thinks about a food co-op and thinks about having a food co-op down here. A lot of people have been bringing up that there was a food co-op down here a long time ago, and that they're really interested in seeing a new one arise, seeing a new one come up. So we've gotten lots of contact information, which is really nice, you know, for people to be really interested in volunteering or becoming members and stuff like that. And I don't really know too much about it, about what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, have a little storefront that'll have local organic food, local natural food, local handcrafted items, jewelry, things like that, whatever the community thinks would be nice to have there, you know. And I don't really know what else to say. This guy is the guy to talk to.
That's the guy to talk to.
Yeah, right. Cody.
All right. Well, do you know when? You said there was one here before. Did they mention a time? Do you know when it was?
One here before, Cody. When was the old co-op here?
I know it ran about through the...
Do you know how long ago? They were in the mid-90s? Wow, so it was here for 30 years before that. Interesting. No, I know. No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm Zach, by the way. Local media collective. Just do some interviews with people. But I saw you interviewing people, so I figured I had my equipment. Why not interview you about what you're doing? And, dude, that's free media sites on the back. Mine's on the front.
Okay.
But just do local things.
I know.
So what are you doing?
Right now we're taking surveys. Just kind of get a broad overview of what people that come to this farmer's market or at least walk through this area would think about a food co-op that would be operating in this area. There's some professionals that do kind of consensuses to see, you know, market research, that type of thing, but they cost about $10,000. So before we venture into something, you know, that intense, we want to get a more of a broad overview of ourselves. And so that's what we're out here doing. We'll probably be doing it for the entirety of the farmers market this year. We'll eventually, probably as of this Saturday, have a little booth set up, but we kind of didn't expect a large turnout today, so we didn't want to...
Yeah, this is the diehards. The first day, the Thursday before, we have, what, six? Yeah, I mean, feel free, say whatever you want, advertise.
The food
co-op... Because I showed him the card, but I had gotten one of the cards from a friend before, so I heard about it and was interested in it.
Food co-ops are generally locally owned, member-owned... Kind of, I guess it's like a corporate model. Members are entitled to shares, but only a certain amount of shares. For instance, every member is entitled, in some models, every member is entitled and or required 20 shares, but no more, no less, so that everybody has equal ownership in the business. So therefore, nobody could say, you know, I own 50% of the stock, so my vote counts more than yours. Everybody has the same amount of vote, though boards of directors are usually elected to make big decisions. But by having this member-owned business, you're able to cut down on overhead because members volunteer, and because the people shopping there are also the people that own it, they're less likely to jack the prices up. A lot of times co-ops are non-for-profits. We're currently looking into that, being a non-for-profit, because there's a lot of advantages a business can take for being a non-for-profit, but it's also hard to sustain. Because there's some restrictions on how much you can reinvest, and there's also a lot of regulations on how much, you know, you're helping the community. When actually wouldn't be a problem for the food co-op that we're trying to start, because that is the main objective with us, is community outreach through classes on canning, sustainability, organic gardening, you know, doing babysitting stuff, teaching art classes, music classes, how to make your own drums, things like that. So community outreach, proving that we do that, wouldn't be too hard with the not-for-profit, but we've been told by some people, Debbie Trocha of the Indiana Cooperative Development Center, for instance, that we should probably look into going as a for-profit for now, and then it's kind of a tedious process to turn over again from a for-profit into a not-for-profit, but it might be worthwhile looking into. Right now, there's probably... We had one meeting about 3 months ago, it was all word of mouth. Kind of, we said next week we're going to have a meeting, and about 50 people showed up. Since then, I would say maybe somewhere between 30 and 60 people have contacted us and asked to be on the contact list, though we had a meeting last week and about 20 people showed up. So I would say there's at least 20 people who are very active in the planning of this and organizing.
Hold on one second.
But I was just saying that I think there's a steering committee probably of about 20 active people right now trying to organize. Hopefully, as far as the steering committee is concerned, you don't really want to exceed that number because it becomes harder and harder to make big decisions with more people.
Oh, yeah.
But we are, I think, even today, growing in the number of interested folks, and it seems that right now the number is around 100, I would say. And hopefully, you know, we'll double, triple, quadruple, whatever, by the end of the summer. We haven't started fundraising yet, if that's a question people might ask, because we haven't incorporated yet, mm-hmm. and we wanted to wait until we did that so that we could have a safe place to put the money that we were raising, and we also wanted to have a more of a solid model. There's some kind of frustrations with old co-op members on jumping in into a storefront because they saw the downfall of the other one, and they watched how it evolved, and some people are worried about that the market's not there. I believe that the market is there, especially with everyone we talked to today. I mean, I think we got maybe 25 people, and you know, out of the 40 that walked past, that seemed really interested and said they would definitely shop there, and that downtown would be a great location. And so I'm not so apprehensive about getting a new storefront as some people are, but other people have had the idea that maybe we should start, you know, in the basement of a church. Just once a week, we get together, and here's the food, or some ideas of a mobile grocery store, like in a bus or a biodiesel-powered truck going around, would work, like they do in Portland. Those are some ideas, but we're open to ideas. We have an email address. It's LafayetteFoodCoop@yahoo.com, and any suggestions or ideas are very welcome. And yeah, it's kind of.
What do you think? I mean, would you be interested in?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I forget which friend of mine gave the card to me, but I was very excited then. They're like, oh yeah, the old city news place. It's like, it's right downtown, and
we had one a couple days ago.
Yeah, on Tuesday at the Bruco, we had a meeting. Next Tuesday at the Brico, there'll be another meeting. 8 p.m.
Do you have a website for it now, or is it all just the same? Do you have an email list, or I mean, how would you send information?
Email list. The steering committee gets most of the emails, though, because we don't want to bother everybody with just like kind of like, you know, when should we have the next meeting, that kind of stuff, when we're trying to figure things out. But there is a mass email list also that goes out for when things are more set in stone, like there's going to be a meeting here, and. Mm-hmm. We're actually in the process of planning kind of a free food, free music thing out at Columbian Park to kind of generate awareness and possibly do some fundraising at that point, or you know, kind of unveil some ideas. Or,
and when do you think that's going on?
That's kind of
up in the air,
set in stone right now. But
sometime in the summer, maybe, or
it would definitely be the summer, but it's not set in stone right now. So I wouldn't want to be like next week or two. No, yeah, I don't know.
Okay,
but.
But no, I mean, I would be very interested in something like that. I mean, especially the farmer's market, if you could make it run all year round for the things that can go all year round. Because I know several of the people do have winter, you know, produce to do.
I think downtown would be a good place for it.
I mean, oh, yeah, why not? I mean, there's really nothing. I mean, where would you shop downtown now?
Right.
You know, they had a little market where the City Grill is, but I mean, that was just a normal kind of like corner store
right.
deal. It wasn't really, you know, buy produce here.
Right.
But no, I don't live downtown, but I would definitely, I come down here enough, it would be nothing to especially stop off on over there on Fifth Street and just park and walk in and do it. And I think it would be a big deal for the downtown workers. Now they don't have to drive out, you know, to go to Payless
right.
or Marsh or some other place and pick anything up. Yeah, and then you have that.
Since the Sunrise Diner over here, I used to work there years ago, and, you know, every Saturday they would run out of something, and the owner would have to get in his car and drive to Payless on the west side to go get a packet of Jell-O or something, you know? And, I mean, granted, we probably wouldn't have Jell-O.
Yeah.
But that same kind of idea, you know, we'd be a lot more convenient. I know that, you know, the Bistro would probably be interested in our produce, and along with the Maze and La Scala, all of the owners have voiced interest in the project, and I personally think downtown is ready for it. It's just a matter of.
Did they say why the other one died?
There's a lot of reasons I hear. a big one, I think, was that like it was started by one generation, and they were kind of waiting for the next generation to kind of pick up the energy, and it didn't, and they all got kids and all that kind of stuff.
That happens.
Another one is another reason is they moved 6 times. Mm. And in every move, it cost a little more, and they kept getting bigger and bigger. And eventually, they moved into the Kmart parking lot shopping center, which they couldn't compete with Payless, Marsh, Kmart. Mm. And then I also heard that there might have been some bookkeeping troubles at the end, but that I don't know anything about that, though. So. Yeah. But I think that I think that was the wrong place. Because, you know, you can't compete with a Kmart or a Marsh. Not at this stage. I mean, maybe once you have 10,000 members, active members, you can move there and then put Kmart out of business. But at this point in time, you know, when you only have 400 active members, it's a death sentence. And you can't fight a huge overhead being, a non-for-profit organization. You need to keep it low, and that's something we're trying to do and struggling with trying to get a downtown location is keeping overhead low.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons.
Rent, I'm sure, is not cheap.
No, that's one of the reasons we didn't go to the City News was because it was going to be really expensive, and you know everyone was like, yeah, it's a great location, it's a great idea. You know, maybe pay it homage with a name or a slogan or whatever, because that's where the idea spawned. But getting in there is impractical, and the owners, you know, they're really nice guys, but they, you know, needed to make a couple bucks, and they didn't want to come down and help us out, and that's understandable, you know. But
his girlfriend? I don't know who his girlfriend is.
We're looking for some place that can be cheap, pretty much, but still reasonable that we're not going to have to put a lot of work into, and you know. Mm-hmm. Though there are some carpenters and tradesmen and stuff like that that are part of the group, so I'm sure fixing up a place wouldn't be too hard either.
That's good to know.
So if anybody listening has a cheap place that needs a little bit of fixer-ups, they want to help us out with, it would be awesome.
Right, and I'll put all the contact information on there that you have on the card. Any final thoughts or anything? Or
no, I think I rambled for long enough.
That's good.
I think I have to go
tighten some stuff up. And
all
right, awesome. Nice meeting you. Have a good one. Good luck. We'll probably be in touch. Yes.
Hmm? You just got this card.
Ryan. Yes. Okay. Ah. Yeah. Yes, I know Ryan. Well, good luck on your final.
Thank you. Probably gonna need it.